Well, good morning and greetings in Christ's precious name this morning. It's good to be here. I've never been here for a Sunday before, and so I was looking forward to meeting everyone and getting to know where Chad's are. And as far as introduction, you saw my wife and I and our children. We're here from Slave Lake, and yes, it is north, but I did grow up probably a bit of a southern boy, but I've learned to love the north. It's beautiful, and there's creation there that's beautiful also. And we welcome you there. We're a small church. It's been growing, but we would be happy for visitors. And this morning, when he texted me about it, I thought, well, it's Father's Day, so that'll be easy, I guess. So I thought, well, I'll share on Father's Day, and I want to, but I did it a little bit, I guess, in honor of my being here with my father. I don't know when the last time we spent Father's Day with my parents, but it's been a while, so it's good to do that also. And, you know, as we traveled, I guess it really struck me the lack of fathers. There's a lot of dads, there's a lot of men that have families, let's say. But to be a true father, they're definitely, I believe it is maybe the weakness of our nation, one of them. It's sad, the broken homes, I just, out of interest this morning, just did a little research and it said Father's Day isn't that big of a deal as, I believe, I can't remember the wording, but something to the, you know, compared to Mother's Day. Everyone cares about their mother. Everyone knows their mother often. But it seemed like Father's is a weak point. And that's sad. That's really sad as I thought about that. So today I just have a simple little encouragement for those of us that even still have our fathers. Some of us maybe don't. I am blessed with having my father here this morning. My father-in-law is living. Maybe some of you can't say that, but maybe some of you have a father figure in your life. And you can thank the Lord for that. But I just want to leave some simple encouragements this morning for those of us that are fathers or maybe are representing a father figure to someone. And I told my wife I should probably find someone in the Bible that wasn't a good father as an example. But I thought about it, we don't need that. We have all the examples we need. And I don't believe we need to talk about the negative. We want to, this morning, strictly think about the positive side of that and ways of that. There's young families here this morning. That's beautiful. The children, I love that. And ways that we can be inspired to be better fathers. Proverbs 20, if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to start. Just one verse I wanted to pull out of here in verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. That word integrity is maybe a big word for us, but if you look it up, it's very simple. And it says the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. And to me, as I thought about that, that is a key to why there's so much failure in this world, because the lack of moral principles that men are willing to change, because a lot of men do not have that. And if they do, they're willing to sacrifice that at times. Integrity is something that, you know, I remember my dad teaching, saying we need to be men of integrity. And I try to teach my son, you know, to make choices that are solid, something that he won't regret later. And I believe I, as a son, am blessed by having a father that lived a life of integrity. And I hope that I can pass that on to my son, those of us that are here, that we have something that is worth passing on. Am I living a way, or my choices that I make, are they something that is worth passing on? Are they something that I, 20 years from now, would like to see in my son or daughter? I have two examples today, I believe, that I felt were good examples to look at. And the first one is the most important one in each one of our lives. Each one of us can claim this. And that is God. God our Father. When you think of an example, the ultimate Father, the one that lives above failure, because our earthly fathers do fail at times. We all fail. Probably some of us, you know, I look back in shame sometimes with the failures my children have seen in my life. But can I rise above that? Can I repent of that and ask their forgiveness and grow? Matthew 10, if you want to turn to that, you're welcome to. We'll start reading at verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear them not, which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And let's just stop there. The reason I guess, chose them is just to think of our Father in heaven caring about us. You know, he is the, when you think of a sparrow, let's just look at that little picture there in verse 29. Let's think about that first. He says, not one sparrow falls to the ground without our Father in heaven seeing that. And I think about that. We grew up we fed cattle in a feedlot. And because of the grain and stuff, just this flocks of birds, like uncountable. And I often think about that. You know, God saw each one of them. Those birds were bringing him glory, I believe. And we think of sparrows, to us, they were worthless, they were a pain, they were annoying. But as God looks and he sees them, take that into your own life. If God can care about a sparrow, he cares about us. He cares about each one of you this morning. And that's just a simple little, can I say, an encouragement or a blessing that you can take and realize God cares about everything you face today. He talks about there in verse 30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. If God cares about those little minute details of your life, he cares about the decisions you make today and tomorrow. He cares about the direction of travel that you have. He cares about you personally. And along with that, God made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe that verse reveals the very heart of God. It reveals God's love is wide enough to embrace everyone. Also, God's love cared about each one of our destinies. The second person I want to think about, and I thought of different ones. There's plenty of fathers that are good examples from the Bible. But I wanted to maybe think of Abraham this morning. Let's turn to Genesis 13. I want to look at some of the things that he chose, that he did. In In Genesis 13, we come at a time when Abraham and Lot were parting ways. And we're not going to read all these verses. It would take too much time. But you see in verse 1, they went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And they had a lot of things. They had a lot of cattle to take care of. It's one thing he lists. It says Abraham was very rich in cattle. So they come out here and they get to this spot, and each one had their flocks, their herds, their tents, and the herdsmen started fighting. They needed grass, they needed water, but especially grass, I believe. And I guess I've often been challenged. I thought of Abram, you know, he could have went and they could have counted up cows. Okay, you have this, let's put a fence here. Don't cross this fence, this is mine, that's yours. But it often challenged me how he offers to Lot, you choose. You decide, where do you want to be? He said, let's not let this get between us. Let's deal with this. Let's take care of it. And, you know, there's something that in verse 10 there, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, I looked that up. It says Abraham in verse 12 dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And if you look on a map, Abram definitely had the worst quality land. He left Lot choose, and he took what was there. But I guess the point that I want to bring out of this is strictly right there in verse 12. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. The challenge I want to leave with each one of us as fathers this morning is that pitched his tent there. It has more than the fact that he moved over there. I believe he opened him and his family up to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think about that often. You know, to me, it's a challenge. We live in this world. We have to work in this world. We have to mingle with society. But I believe this is a little deeper. To me, it has the thought, and I'm open to anyone challenging me on this later, but to me, it has the thought of also opening his heart and his mind to things that he should have been dealing with. I believe his family was left to make decisions that they maybe, if he was a stronger father, you know, would have drawn lines and said, we're going to live over here. Even though it's not quite as good, I want to see this as our line where we're going to live by. And I'm challenged with that in my own home. You know, what am I opening my family up to? Am I preparing them? Am I living in a way? Am I making choices that make it hard for them? And also in verse 18, if we want to jump into that a little bit further there, Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You don't have any record of Lot doing that. But I guess was impressed as I thought about that. After the division was done, Lot went his way, Abram went his way. Abraham moved, set up his tent, his home, and he built an altar unto the Lord. To me, if we want solid homes, if we want homes that are going to last, if we want homes that are going to inspire our youth to have godly homes, we need to start with the Lord. And I wonder if that wasn't the breakdown in Lot's life. Maybe he was more worried about the next investment he was going to make or whatever it was. But Abraham, yes, he set up his tent, prepared to live there. But the first step I believe he did was he built an altar unto the Lord to worship him there. And to me that's important in my own home. And each one of us I believe here, you know, do my children see me worshiping the Lord? Do they see me bringing the simple things to God? Do they see me dealing with the hard things in that way? As a father, what do my children see is important to me? And I don't know. There's no record that I can accuse Lot that way. But I guess I question it because of the direction of travel, maybe. Genesis 22, if we want to jump a couple chapters now. Because it's just because we're talking, we're going to let Lot for now. We know the story, we know what happened there, how he was brought out, what all the history that goes with that. But I want to keep thinking about Abraham this morning. And this story to me is a beautiful story as I think of a godly father. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. I've often struggled with that word tempt, why it was used that way. I don't know if it was, but if you look it up in Hebrew, is the word naka. And that means to test, try, or prove. This morning, if God was to test, to tempt me as a father, do I have what Abraham had? And I believe this was we're going to keep reading in this story, but it was a testing of Abraham's faith. It wasn't that the Lord was trying to entice him into some evil thing, but God was tempting him. God was allowing this into his life. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. You know, I find it interesting. God talked to him in the middle of the night, and you know, I just love it says in verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't mess around. He didn't get up and I got to take care of my cattle, all these other things. He got up, he left. And to me, that challenges me. And I want to leave that as a challenge with each one of us. When the Lord calls me to do something, do I mess around looking for an excuse? Am I willing to go and do it? We quit there, verse 3. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. And worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, as I think about that, and we tend to sometimes, at least for myself, you read these stories, this history we call it, and you tend to think of, you know, Abraham had something that I don't have. Didn't. To me, I'm challenged often to think about, he was a man just like you or I. He had the same weaknesses. He had the same struggles. I can imagine a lot of excuses I'd have had to not go through with that. A lot of the questions, you know, God had promised him that he would make a nation out of his family. And his only son he was asked to sacrifice. You know, I was challenged, I thought about if you were in Abraham's shoes, and maybe you know, if you knew it was your last day with your son this morning, what would you do with your son? You know, would you, it would probably the temptation would be there, you know, anything he wants, it's his today. It's his last day. And I guess I was challenged. I thought of what Abraham did there. He brought him back to God. God will provide. When he had a question, he brought him back to God. And I'm sure they had conversation. I'm not sure. It's not given. But I don't believe that Abraham was in emotional turmoil that day. I believe his life was a life of commitment to God's will. And as he took his son and he went there, and even as they prepared for the sacrifice, I just envisioned in my mind Abraham talking to him about God, about maybe teaching him things. I'm not sure. Explain to him, you know, how to build an altar to the Lord, for example. Verse 12, verse 11 and 12 there, I guess. We see the angel calling out to him. And I can just, I guess, imagine Abraham was, I don't understand the emotions that he was dealing with, but to think of an angel calling out to you at that very second, it looks like, in my verse 10 there. And he answers, "Here am I." And the angel telling him, "Don't touch him. Let him go. Neither," he says, "lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. And because he withheld not his only son." You know, can you imagine the joy, the thankfulness that filled his heart? And take note again what he did there in verse 14. Or actually, sorry, we didn't read 13, or did we? "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." That name, Jehovah Jireh, means "the Lord will provide." What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful thing happening. What a beautiful miracle, I believe, that God worked there that day. And as I think of fathers, I guess as I thought about that story, it just stood out to me. Because as a father, I believe he'd have been tempted to run away from that situation. Sometimes God calls us through the fire. Sometimes he calls our whole family through the fire, whatever it is. How do I take my children through as a father? That challenged me as I thought about that. You know, how can I take my children through the hard times, whatever it is that God brings in? You know, I do not believe that we'd be called to literally sacrifice like that. But, you know, I just had a conversation with a brother yesterday over in Payette there. We were talking, you know. He said, And he has two older sons, and they had went to, one was in Africa, and I forget where, and they had some life-changing experiences there. And he had told them, he said, if God calls you there, he said, it will be an honor than if it was some trivial thing somewhere else. I thought about that. That is true. If they're in the Lord's will and doing his work, it will be an honor. And that challenged me. Am I setting up, am I preparing my children to go forth and serve the Lord? And in preparing them, that means I need to be doing that in my life. The reason there's so many fathers that are failures, as you travel, or you don't have to even travel, just look around you. The broken homes, the sad homes, the children that don't know their father. You can make a difference in your home. just maybe some simple questions. I think I'll just close with a couple questions, and I'm not going to sit here and answer them. Just take them and think about them. You know, number one, because of, I guess this one came to me, what do my family see as important to me? Which direction am I pitching my tent, if you think of Lot's life there? And one that stood out to me, or I guess challenged me, is what do my family see me willing to sacrifice to be in the Lord's will today? And finally, in times of testing, can God say, now I know that thou fearest God? As the Lord looks down, each one of you, in your journey here, and the Lord bless you as you serve him here, you know, faithful fathers are going to be a testimony, I believe, more and more as the Lord tarries. Homes challenge people. I am just, the North is no different than down here probably, but so many, I'm just, I guess, challenged so often when old men are brought to tears when they see a close family. When they maybe sit in on family worship or come into our homes and they see that. And you see hardened old men brought to tears because often what's challenged me is they talk about their children and their failures. And it challenges me to be a better father. What would God say to you today? What would he say to me? Would he say, I know that thou fearest God? Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful fathers. Do you close with prayer? Let's stand and have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it back over. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you were the perfect example of a father. The sacrifice, I thank you for Jesus, his shed blood today. I thank you for each one here, Lord. Just bless them as they serve in this community. Pray that your word would go forth, that many more will be brought to your kingdom. Just go with us and bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.